We've been studying the book of Romans for about a year, and we're in chapter 4 right now. And the book of Romans is not a simple book, but it's an essential book to understanding God's plans and purposes for His children, and understanding what He did with the Old Testament saints to help us understand what He's doing with us today. And this morning, we're going to be looking further at Abraham. I was telling Gene, I says, I may be teaching Father's Day lesson next Sunday. because Abraham is known as Father Abraham. But I'm going to take the verses in order so that we can keep the continuity. And sometimes our understanding of father is a bit misleading. And so I want to take a little time to present the significance of being a father and not just simply bearing children. It's more than that. It's more than just bearing children. So I want us to look this morning at Romans chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, and then also include verses 20 through 25. Of this same chapter. A lot of verses, but I think verses 20 through 25 will help us to grasp what is being taught in verses 8 through 11. Romans chapter 4, verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. We're talking about imputed righteousness, and last Sunday, by way of review, we went over a little bit about David. David and Bathsheba was a very tragic event in David's life. It was very grievous. It created grave consequences in David's family. And so sin that we commit does make a difference in our lives today, as well as when we stand before God to be judged. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in the family. God's DNA is in your genes. And there's nothing that you can do to change that. But you can rebel against God, and you will pay the consequences, just as we did as kids. When we rebelled against our parents, we paid the consequences. And you know what? That principle still applies to adulthood. You rebel in adulthood, and there are consequences to pay. But what is significant about David is this. David was confronted with his sin. And we know from the Psalms that David confessed his sin. He was contrite. He repented. Yet that didn't change the circumstances in which he found himself as king. But one of the things that we learned last week was this. When we were reading about the period of time when David and Bathsheba made their rendezvous in his bedroom. In 2 Chronicles, that is totally skipped over. You don't even read about David and Bathsheba. All you read is that David was in Jerusalem when the kings went forth to war. And then David went down to Ramah, got the crown, put it on his head. Not a word said about Bathsheba. You know why? God did not impute that sin to David. And that can happen in our life too. Now let me say this. There are other kings who didn't repent, and God did not overlook their sin. Saul's one of them. Solomon is another one. It's not how you start, it's how you finish that counts. Solomon started off good. He married too many women, and they were strange women. And when I mean strange, I mean they were foreigners that had gods that sucked Solomon in. I mean, he built temples for them to worship in. Can you imagine a man who worships the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob building a temple or a place of worship for some idol? I guess some men will do anything to keep peace in the family. But that's one thing you don't want to do. Anyway, now, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That has to do with David. That has to do with Abraham and his seed. And the blessing here is that is a word I think we need to keep in mind. Because the blessing is, we find it salted throughout the fourth chapter of Romans. And to not have sin imputed or reckoned or counted to us means that we do not stand chargeable. God won't bring them up. Unchargeable sin. In Romans chapter 8, verse 33, it tells us, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." And by the way, when you see ETH on the end, that's in the present tense. Justification is not an event. Salvation is an event. Justification is an ongoing process of how we read His Word for cleansing and confession of sin for cleansing, and then we will not be chargeable. It's not simply that we can do anything we want to and God won't hold it against us. That's not what we find in the Scriptures, though there are many that want to find that in the Scriptures. It's just not there. But it says, "Who shall lay anything to God's elect? It is God that is in the process of justifying the elect." In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1, it says, "Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." Abraham was one who was blessed. He was not charged or chargeable. Now, Abraham did some really dumb things, as we all know. First of all, he didn't leave his family alone. He took Lot with him, and that was baggage. Abraham went down into Egypt, and he allowed Pharaoh to give him a lot of money. And that's not good. Money, the deceitfulness of riches will derail you if you let it, obviously. But he lied about his wife, and of course Pharaoh rebuked him. Happened again with Abimelech. The same lie. Caught. Red-handed. Anyway, the point is this. Those charges are not held against Abraham. He was blessed. The blessing. The blessing is not having sin that you have done held against you. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, "Cometh this blessedness." Here it is. What is the blessedness? It's not salvation. It's being chargeable. We're talking about people that know the Lord. Abraham was a child of God. David was a child of God. We're not talking about getting saved. We're talking about his kids not being chargeable. Okay? So, "Cometh this blessing or blessedness then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also?" In other words, he says, is this just for the Jews or is it for the Gentiles as well? By the way, Jews and Gentiles have always been able to be saved. Okay? But they didn't all have the same privileges. When Jesus came, he came only to the nation of Israel. With a message, it was only to the nation of Israel. And he forbade his disciples to take this message of the kingdom, ruling and reigning with him, to anyone but the nation of Israel. Don't go to any Gentile, nor into any city of the Samaritans. That message was not open to them. So that's the reason why he is making a distinction here between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. This blessedness, or this being not chargeable of any sin, is to both Jews and saved Jews and saved Gentiles. Now, if you're a lost Jew or a lost Gentile, you are chargeable. You're condemned. You're judged. There's no mercy until after death. So that's the reason why he is making the distinction, saying, is it only to the Jews, or is it also on the Gentiles? And we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. It's for both. Now, this is interesting to me. We say that faith was reckoned. What this is saying is this: faith, Abraham was given credit for faith. That's what it means to be reckoned. God will not reckon sin means that he will not give us credit for having sinned. In other words, that it's clean. Abraham was reckoned, or his faith was reckoned to him. Now, there's a reason for that to be so. And that faith was reckoned to him that he might have the righteousness which comes so that he will not be chargeable. That's what the righteousness here in this context is. Now, what does it mean that faith was reckoned to him? Well, look in Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, in the present tense. Now, the word might be given, it means simply it may not be given. That's the point. That's the subjective mood. It may not be given. And the reason why it may not be given is because we can stop believing in the present tense. We can stop being faithful to God. And when we stop being faithful to God, then the promise is taken away from us. Not our salvation, but our inheritance. Keep in mind, inheritance is not salvation. We don't inherit salvation, because inheritance is a family matter. And when we talk about inheritance, we're talking about the family. We're not talking about lost people. Okay? We're talking about the family of God. Now, the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe, in the present tense. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Isn't it interesting here to note that faith did not come until when? After the law. When was the law dealt with? Well, the law was dealt with when the law was nailed to his cross. Okay? So we're talking about faith coming after that event. Now, let's follow along with me now, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. What makes faith operative? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What provides for our salvation? His death on the cross. There are two mutually exclusive events. His death on the cross provided the salvation for whom? The sins of the whole world. Anybody can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The resurrection is something else. Without the resurrection, faith would be what? Vain. Empty. In verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ be not raised from the dead, be not raised, your faith is vain, for ye are yet in your sins. Now that doesn't mean you're lost. It just means it's the sin factor in your life. In other words, the fallen nature is ruling. The fallen nature is in charge. You're still sinning and can't get out of it. It takes the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us from the bondage of sin. Without that, we're saved, but we can't serve Christ. We're saved, we're in the family, but it takes faith in our high priest to give us the power to live above sin and to win over that taskmaster to be released. Romans 4:25 tells us who was delivered for our offenses. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But He was raised for our justification. He raised again. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting here, the word Christ is the word referring to Jesus. Jesus was on the cross. Christ was raised from the dead. And I don't think that's just a play on words. I think it is a significant word, Christ. And that it is Christ who became our high priest, the anointed. Okay, we'll see that in just a moment. So he was raised again for our justification, verse 25. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us under Christ. Notice that he brings us under Christ and not under Jesus. The schoolmaster, by the way, remember this, the law was not given to lost people. The law was given to Moses and Aaron and saved people, Joshua and Caleb. The law was a discipline for us to what? Overcome the flesh. Thou shalt not. Does that help us overcome the flesh? It will if we will appreciate the fact that if we will instead of will not, there are consequences to pay. So the law helps us to discipline ourselves as far as the flesh is concerned. And of course we have the world and the flesh. And the devil, by the way, is fought on different bases. The devil is, we fight the devil with spiritual warfare, a spiritual sword. In fact, most of it, it's a sword of the Spirit, and all the rest of it's defense. We're hiding behind the shield, we're buckling on the breastplate, we're we're resisting, we're not running. By the way, there is no backplate, just breastplate. So you don't run from the devil, you resist him and he'll flee from you. Okay? Let's go on. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 5, who also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. Notice it's Christ glorified him not to be made an high priest. In Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come an high priest of what? Good things to come. Christ is our high priest concerning good things to come. What good things are coming for us? Our inheritance in the heavenlies. Ruling and reigning with Christ. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I want to qualify to be a Lord and a King. And He is in place for me to gain what I need to rule and reign with Him. Because He says, if you're an overcomer, I'm going to grant you to sit with me in my throne and we'll rule and reign the earth together. He is the supreme potentate and we're minor potentates. I guess you can say that. We're the minor ones. But anyway, so what should we be doing today? We should be living by faith. And we do that by being just. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. What is the righteousness of God? It's the blessedness, the unchargeableness. That's the righteousness of God. When I have His unrighteous, when I have His righteousness, I'm unchargeable. And it's revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, it's significant. You have to be just before you can live by faith. Now, what does it mean to be just? To be just means that you are obedient to keeping the moral law. You can't live in adultery and be just. Anybody who's living in adultery or stealing or into any of the sins of the flesh, and they tell me they're living by faith, I know that the truth is not in them. I'm not going to call them a liar. But I know the truth is not in them, and the Scriptures call them a liar. Okay? So you have to be just before you can live by faith. You've got to be obedient. The Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So there are commandments to obey, and that will make us just. But God wants us to be more than just. He wants us to please Him by trusting Him, by living by faith. Because we know that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. So when we're talking about faith, we're talking about pleasing Him. If all we are is just, we are an unprofitable servant. That's what He tells us in Hebrews 10 and verse 11. Luke 17 and 11. If we're just, we're unprofitable servants. Now, we need to be strong in the faith. Abraham was, even though it was imputed faith, or it was reckoned faith. He staggered not at the promise of God, though through unbelief. And the word unbelief here is faith that's negative. It's got a little A in front of it. Apista. That's faithlessness. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through faithlessness, but was strong in reckoned faith. Now I'm emphasizing this because the fact that God reckoned faith to Abraham, because faith did not become operative till when? Until Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Before that, it was reckoned, or Abraham was given credit for living by faith, because he didn't stagger at what God told him. Now, what did God tell him? Well, in verse 4 and 5, again, emphasizing that faith is reckoned for righteousness, and that he was fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. In other words, by the way, it's interesting to me, the word persuaded is in the aorist tense, and that means it wasn't an ongoing thing. I mean, God wasn't constantly trying to persuade him to believe what he had to say. Abraham believed it, and that settled it. For Abraham, he would do what God would do what he said he would do. That's aorist. Okay? Now what had he promised? Verse 13 of Romans 4. For the promise that he should be heir of the world. That's the promise that God made to Abraham, and Abraham believed that. And he didn't stagger at that. Because he knew if his heirs were going to inherit the world, he's going to have some kids. Or a child anyway. And he was pretty old when all this got started. He really wasn't, he didn't have the fertility drugs that they got today, you know, and nobody's bragging. I mean, Sarah wasn't bragging about having a child at 99. Or 100, or, well, she was probably 90. But anyway, the point is this. He did not stagger at that promise, and through the righteousness which is of faith. The promise that he would be heir of the world through the righteousness which is of faith. That's when he was going to have it. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 through 10, it says that by faith, he, that is Abraham, sojourned in the land, that is, an earthly inheritance, of promise. This is singular in number. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now that promise is more than just an earthly inheritance. And you see that in verse 10. For, or because, he was looking for a city. Now, he wasn't looking for Jerusalem, because Jerusalem wasn't made by the hands of God. Jerusalem was not made, or the foundation wasn't laid by God, but by man. Abraham was looking for a city that is a heavenly city, which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for a heavenly city. And he sojourned in the land that they could touch and that they could walk on. But he was looking for something more. Now, back to Romans 4:22, and it says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What was imputed to him? Faith. Abraham was given credit for faith, which led to righteousness, which meant that he would not be chargeable before God. And that, and by the way, that righteousness is the blessing. Where does this blessing come from? It comes from living by faith and believing God, what He said He'll do, and we can do that. He had made specific promises to us, but there's two things that we know we need to be doing. All things are possible unto God. I got to continually believe that. Secondly, I need to submit to His will. Not my will, but thine be done. We were talking about praying for people, that they be healed and that they, you know, different things like that. And I prayed for many people that didn't get well. It doesn't mean that that I didn't have any faith. I just needed to accept God's will for that individual. Our days are numbered. And here I am asking God to go beyond His number. And by, He may do that, but I don't have any, I can't by faith say He will. And we were talking about, you know, miracles and working of miracles, and I've been reading in the book of Acts, and I saw how Peter and John, how they drew a crowd. I mean, they raised a guy up that had been crippled for life, and thousands of people come running in. I was just sharing with them. I says, all we have to do is, one of you guys in here, all you have to do is raise somebody from the dead, and you can't, we couldn't hold all the people that come here. And anyway, the point is this, I need to be believing that He can do anything He wants to do and will do, and I need to submit to His will for my life. So, the blessedness is the righteousness which is of faith, and that's the blessedness that Abraham had, as well as David and others. Now, Romans 4:23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it, the blessing, was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it, the blessing, shall be imputed if we believe in the present tense. See, we can stop believing in the present tense. Okay, now I'm going to just emphasize this. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that's aorist. That's an event. Believe in the present tense is a continuous thing. If Paul had used the present tense of the verb believe in Acts 16:31, it would have meant as long as you believed, you would be what? Saved. But he didn't use that. Thank God for that. All I had to do is believe once, born into the family of God. Now, God expects us to be faithful to Him, and we do that by believing Him all the time and not doubting Him. That's believing in the present tense, okay? And we will receive that blessedness, or that blessedness will be imputed unto us if we believe, present active, on Him, that is, God the Father, that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. When God raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, what did God give Him? Gave Him glory. That's what you find in 1 Peter chapter 1. We believe in Him who hath raised Jesus Christ from the dead and gave Him glory, and our hope is in God, that He'll do the same for us. Okay? Now, again, I remind us that He raised us up, or raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, that we might stand in His presence approved. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Again, Romans 8:33. It is God that's doing the justification. It is God that's doing the forgiving. I haven't sinned all my sins yet, but I'm counting on Him to forgive me when I confess those sins. And those sins I don't know that I'm doing wrong will be taken care of because I read His Word every day. You know, it's the reading of His Word takes care of the sins that don't come to mind. Let me tell you, there are lots of sins that don't come to mind because I don't know all my sins. There are some I do know, and I deal with them by confession. Okay? So He is in the process of justifying us, continuous process. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died for our sins, for our offenses. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And by the way, the word maketh, it's got E-T-H on the end of it. You know what that means? He doesn't make intercession once. He's making intercession for me all the time. He ain't quitting. And I'm thanking Him for that. It's not an event. It's an ongoing process. And He is interceding on my behalf. Why? Because He wants me to stand approved. He wants me to be victorious over sin and the flesh and the devil. So, we'll close with verses 10 and 11 of Romans. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Circumcision became to be associated with the nation of Israel. This blessedness is not just for Israel. It's for saved Gentiles as well. Okay? If you're a Gentile, and I don't see any Jews in here, so I'm talking to Gentiles. This is for you. Okay? This is for you. This is for me. And so that blessedness will come upon us because we are believing in the present tense and we're pleasing Him by faith. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them that what? Believe in the present tense. We're talking about faithful children of God. And the sign of circumcision is simply a means of reminding us of what good things that are coming. That's what the seal or the sign of circumcision is. When you see circumcision, you should be thinking about what? That city whose builder and maker is God. Good things that are coming. Though they be not circumcised, the righteousness, that is the blessing, might be imputed to them also. What is the blessing? Not being charged. May God help us to be faithful to Him in our walk with Him every day, that we might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. And you know what? You can start that walk now. You can start that walk now. You don't have to wait until everything is in place. You can change now. And He wants us to do that. May God help us to do it and be bold enough to do it. Father, just pray that You'd bless the message to our hearts. We thank You, Lord, that we can receive that blessedness of not having our sins imputed unto us, but that we can be delivered from being guilty of sins that we have done by being obedient to You and believing You. And so, Lord, we do pray that You would help us to do this. We just thank You again for this time of fellowship around Your Word, and we pray You would bless the message to each of our hearts, to your honor and glory and our good and profit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.